Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Another week, another monster movie.
Another day I want to kill myself.
Dylan.
Sorry.
We don't joke about suicide on this podcast.
I've sat through so much crap already.
It is not crap. This is masterpiece.
Quality made monster movie.
Works.
Quality?
Quality.
Are you sure it's quality? Because I've given out a couple Fs already.
Well, we'll see if you give out an F today. What film are we reviewing today?
Godzilla. No, sorry, wrong week.
It's the British version of Godzilla.
I mean, basically, they're like, guys, I got it. We can do this too. Godzilla's profitable, right? They're like, we can do that. We'll call it Gorgo. Which is the film we're reviewing this week.
Gorgo. The film released in 1961 by MGM.
On my birthday, March 29th.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
It's a birthday movie. No.
All right, well, let's get into the a quick making of summary of this movie. This movie was produced by King Brothers Productions.
Interesting.
Distributed by MGM, in the States at least. Directed by Eugene Laurier, who we have talked about before. He was the director of The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. Laurier made this movie because Laurier was, I guess, hired to make this movie, but after the end of The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, in which the monster died a horrible death, his daughter, on the way home, cried and said he was a terrible person for killing off the good monster. So he decided for this movie he was going to make a happy ending where the monsters got to go live happily ever after. So this movie actually did not... His original script did not include a lot of... Or at least did not include the city destruction scene of London. He didn't want a giant city destruction scene in this movie. The King Brothers ended up making him put it in the movie, which I'm glad they did because I don't know what this movie would be without that London destruction scene, which is honestly the best scene in the whole movie. Originally intended to be set in Japan before their Japanese investors pulled out, and then they said, okay, well, we got to set this somewhere in London. And eventually MGM decided we're going to set this in London. Let's see. This was done in an episode of MST3K, season 9 of MST3K. Have not watched it, but I'm sure it's interesting. This movie, not next week, but the week after's podcast, we will be discussing film Gappa, which is a remake / ripoff, probably closer to ripoff, of this film, in which follows a very, very similar plot.
How close is very?
These people go to an island, find a baby monster, take it back to mainland Japan. Instead of Mama Gappa, Mama and Papa Gappa show up, angry, destroy said islanders. Then, you know, stampede through Tokyo until they set their baby free. And then they fly off into the sunset.
I smell a lawsuit. No.
But yeah. Anyway, so box office. This movie was released on March 29th of 1961 in the United States. It had a runtime of, I wrote down here 78 minutes, but...
What we watched today...
My DVD says...
What we watched today was 73
minutes. Budget of around... I found this. I don't know how accurate this is. $650,000. I think that's what Wikizilla said. That's the only site I could find it on. And then made $4.4 million in the States. So a really good decent return profit. On investment. And the little documentary watch said it also did really good in Tokyo. Its Tokyo premiere and its British premiere. So
I bet it did.
Very successful movie financially. But that's all I had for the making of this movie.
Sick.
We will listen to the trailer, if I can find it. And then we will return and I will read off the cast and crew. Dylan will read off a nice and short plot summary this time.
No essay for me today.
And then we will delve right into Gorgo.
Picture of our time has ever unleashed shocked spectacle of such scope and realism as up from the depths of prehistoric mystery rages Gorgo. The headlines of the world blaze the fabulous story of this monster from another age, catapulted from some vast sub-ocean cavern by unprecedented volcanic action. And the headlines scream the story of the reckless skin divers who captured the monster and put it on exhibition.
Sam! Pull out!
Drop the nets!
What do you think you're doing? Okay, take it easy.
I came to let him go back to the sea where he belongs.
Why?
Maybe to save your silly skins for you.
Hurry, hurry, hurry to see Gorgo!
But the headlines do not record the story of a little boy who had a curious sympathy and understanding for the fantastic creature. What strange secret does he know that scientists only suspect?
You trying to say there may be a fully grown one of these things around somewhere? How big would a full grown one be?
An approximate guess. The infant. The adult.
That would make it nearly 200 feet tall.
Wreaking terrible vengeance against the civilization that has captured its offspring. Towering over the cities of the world as millions flee its awesome terror.
Revenge! Revenge!
Nothing can stop it. Defying the force of the army. The might of the navy.
Fire number one, Terry. Ready to open fire, sir. Fire one.
Even the fury of the jets. In a crashing crescendo of sights never before beheld by human eyes. And adventures never before experienced by any man or woman.
All right, we're back. So the cast and crew on this movie?
It has a cast and a crew.
It kind of. This movie was directed by Eugene Laurier, as we have already stated. Written by Robert L. Richards and Daniel James. Music by Angelo Francesco. How did they say it on the documentary? Lavanina. Starring Bill Travers, William Sylvester, Vincent Winter, Christopher Rhodes, Joseph O'Connor, Martin Benson, Basil Dignam, and Mac Dillon.
Mick Dillon.
As Gorgo slash Ogre.
Not Okra.
Ogre.
Ogre. With
the young one is referred to as Ogre.
Ogre.
Okra?
Ogre. G.
Ogre.
Okay. What is the plot?
All right. When sailor slash treasure hunters Joe Ryan and Sam Slade make
Sam
a hit.
Sam Slade.
That's such a great name.
I love that name.
Sam Slade.
When sailors and slash treasure hunters Joe Ryan and Sam Slade make a pit stop for repairs at Nara Island, they stumble across Gorgo, a 65-foot-tall sea creature. They take it back with them to London and put it on display at a carnival, but scientists do not believe it to be full-grown. Back on Nara Island, the mother attacks, destroying the village and battling with naval warships. The mother soon makes her way to London, where she rampages through the city until she finds her son. Reunited, the two monsters return peacefully to the sea.
Well, well, well. What a happy ending.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Sam Slade.
Quite a moving ending.
Sam Slade.
But.
Sorry.
This movie is short. Like we've stated, it is really the main runtime, 73-minute movie.
Sam Slade.
Okay, we get it. Sam Slade.
It's a great name.
So it starts off and Sam Slade and Joe Ryan.
Sam Slade.
They are looking for, they're scuba diving around this Nara Island, and they, I guess they're looking for treasure. I really don't know why they're there. I wasn't paying that close attention. But they realize that some of the divers, locals, have found gold at the bottom, but they have also...
And a lot of rubber fish.
And a lot of rubber fish. But if one of the divers has come back up and he's dead.
Yeah. He's dead.
Killed by Gorgo, or the shock of seeing, or Ogre, I guess, or the shock of seeing Ogre. But they get on this island because their engine, like, gets broken or whatever.
They capsized.
And,
because of the volcano.
Oh, the volcano, yeah. The volcano erupted. There was, like,
a lot of rubber fish.
That volcano formed really fast.
And a lot of rubber fish.
A lot of her fish. And, you know, the beginning of this movie, I've been watching. I watched The Wicker Man the other day, and the beginning of this movie sit on like this rural Scottish isle with these natives that aren't too friendly to the mainland Londoners. Seems very like cult horror-ish.
No, Aaron, they had a sword. It must be cannibals.
Cannibals.
It's got to be cannibals.
This little community is like, I don't know if it's random. Like, it's got this businessman that's from, I guess he's from Britain, working there. And he's like a collector of, like, he's an archaeologist. And he collects valuable archaeological artifacts.
Archaeologist.
And he's got this little orphaned Irish
boy. He's as much an archaeologist as Indiana Jones.
He's got this little orphaned Irish or Scottish boy living with him.
Yeah. And this little boy, if you've seen the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The Michael Bay version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
He looks like the little kid with the buck teeth that is part of the cannibal family in that
For some
movie.
Reason, he kind of reminded me of Ron Howard from the Andy Griffith Show.
I don't know, dude. You put some buck teeth on that kid in that movie. He cannibal him up. Send him to Texas.
Texas. Well, cannibal children aside.
This isn't Children of the Corn.
No, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Anyway, so, I don't know. You know, the two main characters in this movie are, like, terrible people. Like, they are not likable protagonists.
No, they're kind of douchey.
They are really douchey, especially Joe Ryan, who is, like, the main star, I guess.
Can we say douchey?
Yes. He's really rude to this kid all the way up and through, like, the very end of the movie.
And then Sam Slade is a heavy drinker.
He's a heavy drinker. Mm-hmm. And,
like, the whole movie.
And... like, they blackmail this guy. I mean, there's that guy on the isle living on the business archaeologist living on the island. I mean, he's a jerk too, but they basically blackmail him into making him give them his treasure in exchange for them capturing this Gorgo creature. So, I mean, it's like a win-win situation for them. They get some of this guy's treasure.
And they get this giant monster.
And they get this giant monster to parade around Britain. And so anyway, they do. There's actually a pretty interesting scene where the baby Gorgo or Ogre comes up and like fights with some canoes, and they eventually like get in a net or something, and they're hauling it back. But unbeknownst to Joe and Sam Slade, the little boy. What's the little boy's name? Sean. Sean snuck aboard their boat somehow. I'm not really sure how.
And he just left. Like, I'm guessing he, from what I understand, he's in the care of this archaeologist fella.
Yeah.
He just leaves.
He works
for him. And I get the impression that he's kind of mistreated by the guy.
Yeah.
But he really has no choice but to work for him. But, so he sneaks aboard, and they go back to London. At first, the kid tries to, like, he wants to, like, set Ogre free.
Ogre free, yeah.
And then, you know, Joe's like, no, you little brat. And then they don't.
And it, like, shoves him up against the wall. Like,
I do
like,
have a question.
Like, beat him up or
where
something.
Where do they get the sedatives to sedate this giant?
Horse tranquilizers.
Oh, is
horse.
That what they said?
I have no idea. Taking a guess.
Horse tranquilizers.
Why would they have horse tranquilizers? They got no horses.
Elephant tranquilizers.
I don't know. I was not.
The treasure hunters, they have whatever they want.
They have whatever they want.
How were their cigarettes not wet?
Yeah, Dylan got really hung up about there was a scene where they come up from scuba diving and they start smoking, and he's
because water's not wet.
Shut up.
Shut your mouth.
Anyway.
Even if water wasn't wet, even if water's not wet, which I agree, water's not wet itself.
Mr. Edward says.
Anyway, cigarettes can get wet from water.
I don't know.
They get real soggy.
It's not a question I am concerned with. If that's your biggest logic hang up, then you might as well just quit now. They get back and they like sell Ogre to this carnival or the circus thing.
I'll sell you to the carnival.
They parade him through the town and I do feel bad for Ogre. They put him in like this little enclosure. But there's a little bit of water in it.
Yeah, he's like in looks like a pool that's been drained for the summer, but they left a little bit of water in it.
They surround him with like an electric fence.
And then like double gates.
Double gates. And, you know, he's like just made into this little show thing. It's kind of sad. But never fear, because turns
Sam
out...
Sam Slead.
There's a Mama Gorgo. And she's bigger and meaner. And she kills the poor archaeologist on the island when she rampages through the island. And then she has some fights with some naval warships.
She does.
Equipped with a lot of military stock footage. And then she gets to London and...
Rampages.
Destroys a lot of landmarks. She destroys Big Ben.
She destroyed Big Ben.
Parliament House.
Yeah. The Tower Bridge.
The, what is that building called? Westminster Abbey or whatever? Yeah.
Westminster.
And
doing a lot of stuff.
Anyway, but then she rescues her baby.
She rescues your baby, and then they
walk off
into the sunrise
or something.
Question.
Yes.
But I don't know. I mean, this movie is really short. I mean,
very.
The characters are very lacking. I mean, like I said, our protagonists are very unlikable. I guess the kid is probably Sean. He's probably the most likable character in this movie. But really, there's no reason for these characters to be featured in the second half of this movie. I mean, they make up a few things for them to do, like Joe and Sam, like. For some reason, Sean gets into a military van, and then Joe and Sam, like, chase him around the city, and then Joe and Sean get stuck in a subway, and Joe has to get him out. That's, like, the first instance we see him being kind of, like, nice to the kid, and there's some character development, I guess, kind of with Sam, because it turns out he's, like, a heavy drinker and regrets doing all this, and...
Yeah, and then he tries to set Gorgo free, or Ogre. Tries to set Ogre free, and then other guy comes along and punches him a couple times.
Yeah. And, like, Sean is like, at first he's like, we gotta set Ogre free, we gotta set him free, but then later he's like, no, Sam, don't set him free, he'll kill you, or whatever. Well, I thought Sean would be, like, right there, yeah, let's set him free.
Well.
But he was worried about Sam.
Maybe he witnessed him killing that guy on the boat.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because he did kill a guy on the boat.
He did kill a guy, that might have changed his mind.
He saw him kill several people.
Yeah, but I mean...
He didn't want Sam to get hurt.
And the second half of this movie devolves into a lot of, you know, it's really focused on, or at least the last 20 minutes or so, are really focused on the Mom Gorgo as she's making her way, you know, to London and everything.
Just kind of like Rampage.
There's some boardroom scenes involving a lot of military people, and then a lot of military stock footage, and...
Rampages,
and... I mean, but because it's so short, it moves really fast. I don't ever get, like, dreadfully bored with it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the baby Gorgo shows up at what time in the movie?
13 minutes.
13 minutes. Our Mama Gorgo doesn't show up, I think it was until, what, was it 42
minutes? 42-minute mark.
And this is an hour and 13-minute movie.
Yeah, but, I mean, that doesn't really bother. Since we see so much of Baby Gorgo, I don't really, you know, it doesn't really bother me that much. And once Mama Gorgo shows up, she's in it a lot, but... I don't know, what do you think about the ending that they get to, like, live happily ever after or whatever?
I mean, I guess.
It's kind of sweet.
It was alright.
I like it.
Yeah.
We'll see it again in a couple of weeks.
I'll see you again in a
couple
weeks.
This movie also had a lot of, like, King Kong shared storylines. Like, they get this creature from an island and they bring it back to a major city and put it on display. And then, you know, instead of... King Kong breaking loose as the mama comes for the baby and you know, wrecks stuff. But is it maybe borrowing from King Kong as well as Godzilla a little bit?
A wee bit.
But anyway, y'all have anything else to add before we jump into creature design?
I mean, characters are severely lacking. But I mean, other than that, I mean, it's fairly entertaining, I guess. Could be worse.
It could be much worse. Getting into creature design, I guess we'll just talk, because since they don't look different, I guess we'll just kind of talk about them all in one, both of them all in one. I think the look of Gorgo / Ogre is pretty cool. I mean, they're just like these giant green amphibian reptile looking things with red eyes. And
yeah, like the back of them looks very much like an alligator, and their tail looks like an alligator, and then their head has like these weird, like almost like fish fin things that flat out back and forth like fish fins.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay.
It is odd, but I mean, I like the fact that their mouths actually move every time they roar. The light up eyes, that I'm not a big fan of those, but they actually built like a life-sized animatronic replica for Ogre. And, I mean, it looks pretty cool, like, especially on the scenes on the boat and everything, where it's kind of moving. You see it's like head and arms moving. But I don't know. I like the Gorgos in this movie. I think they look pretty cool.
I mean, they look like half alligator, half lizard thingies, which I mean, I guess is an alligator a lizard?
I don't know.
Mm, pretty cool.
They're lizard-esque. They are reptile.
No complaints from me in that department. So. No. I guess moving on to effects.
Effects.
I'll say this. The models in this movie are actually really good. I think most of the models in this movie are really top-notch as far as the other movies we've been watching go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way they destroy them and everything. Especially when, you know, the models of, like, the major famous London landmarks and stuff. Big Ben and all that. I think... look really good.
Matting is surprisingly decent.
In parts, it looks really bad too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's some matting.
But I mean, it's decent. I mean, minus a couple specific like instances. I mean, as a overall, I'd say it's decent.
Yeah, I mean, like they do a lot of matting, like unnecessary matting. I'll say where like the characters are just like standing in front of a truck or something, and you'll notice that there's like they're matted onto there, and I'm like,
or like there's a scene where they're on a boat and they're matted, there's water in front of them,
there's like they're like in an actual little pool where you can see the water in front of them, but the sea out behind them is matted on.
Like,
it doesn't look terrible, but
if this was filmed in the UK, you're literally on an island. You're surrounded by
ocean.
Still
set in the ocean, like, and film
just
it,
just go put a boat in the water.
And they did film, I mean, the documentary said they did film that island, a lot of those island scenes, like in Ireland.
Then why didn't you just
set it in the water? I mean, I don't know. But it
costs too much money to film on location.
It does cost a lot of money to film on location. That's true. But but there's some scenes, like especially at the end of London, where they're like there's a lot of falling debris and it's just really see through and it looks bad. Mm-hmm. And there's like some and they like hand draw like animated people like falling out of stuff. It looks bad. But I mean, there's some good matting effects too.
Some good.
I mean, it's just kind of hit and miss, you know. But
the models look really good.
Yeah, like I said, the models.
Models look pretty good.
Look really good.
Some of them are better than some Godzilla movies that we've watched. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So I mean, effects. I mean, not bad.
I've seen worse.
I wish there wasn't so much reliance on military stock footage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially like with the warships and stuff. But
that's
know,
not the first movie we encountered that had that problem.
Yeah, that's not the first one. But effects are fine.
Effects are decent. Yeah.
Effects are pretty decent. I think. Moving on to score.
I will say the score is pretty generic.
Pretty generic 60s monster movie stuff. I do kind of like the emotional...
Pretty generic early 60s movie score in general.
I kind of like the ending track, though, as they're like the walking off into the sea or whatever. It's kind of moving. It's the best piece of music in the whole film.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
But I mean, overall, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty generic. Nothing really memorable. I was expecting something like bombastic during the rampage.
Yeah, it didn't really come.
Not really. It's just a lot of roaring.
The roar is cool.
The roar is decent.
The roar is a roar.
But anyway, so
I mean,
guess it's time for that short time for final
quick,
thoughts.
Quick short. I mean, final quick short movie. Quick short episode.
Yeah. Final thoughts, Andrew. Why don't you go?
Well, effects are pretty all right, and the matting is some of the best I've seen in a while. I think I'm going to give it a C.
A C. All right.
A C.
What about you, Dylan?
Well, I will say these characters in this movie are very poorly written, underwritten, and underdeveloped. I mean, they're pretty pointless.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they serve a purpose, but at the same time, they don't.
They serve a purpose to get Gorgo from the island.
To get Gorgo from point A to point B.
And then they have no purpose, but they're still in this movie.
And they're very unlikable characters. I mean, there's not a central character that I guess you could really say you can focus on and be like, I really like that character. Besides maybe Sean, but I mean,
Sean is okay.
He's not featured that much. He's not featured enough to be considered a main character, I wouldn't say. He's definitely a supporting character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the writing overall, I mean, it's kind of lackluster. It's a short movie, so I mean, I guess there's not a whole lot to do besides, I mean, you got so much time to set up this monster and then get it from point A to point B, so this rampage can start happening before too much time drags on. But I mean, other than that, I mean, effects are decent. I mean, some of it's hit and miss. Some of the matting is rough, but quite a bit of it's pretty decent, I think. Models look pretty decent, I'd say. And then, I mean, our Gorgo and Ogre, I mean, they look pretty decent. They look like kind of giant walking alligators with weird heads. They're kind of weird heads. They're like half. They look almost like a Godzilla head, but with these weird fish things on the side. And you're like, What? No, but they look pretty decent. I mean, in the score, I mean, the score overall, I mean, it's just pretty generic. I mean, it's an okay movie. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give it a C.
I don't remember what you gave Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, But what? How do you say it compares to that movie since it's the same director?
I think Beast from 20,000 Fathoms is better.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I gave it like a B or something like that.
I agree with you guys. I mean, like I said, the greatest strength of this movie, like a lot of these movies we've watched, is that it's very short.
Dingo.
Very short.
Yeah.
Like you said, the character's very underdeveloped, not really likable. And then the second half of this movie, they kind of get dropped. I mean, they still are in it, but there's really no purpose for them being there. But I do like the Gorgos. I like the city destruction scene. I like the London destruction scene quite a bit. I think it's really good. The models, like we said, really good. Effects, I mean, they're good enough overall to not really take you out of the movie. Too much military stock footage that they didn't film themselves. And you can really tell, like, some of the military stock footage is not high-quality film.
No. I will say that's one problem I did have with this movie as well. I mean, it's just, like, it's very grainy looking.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it's 1961, but...
The copy I got is not the best quality copy.
And it is a DVD copy.
It is a DVD copy. But, I don't know. I like this movie for what it is, for this little 70-minute ride that it takes you on. I think for a monster movie, it's decent. And for a British monster film, we don't get to see a lot of those. Not bad for one of their earlier attempts. But yeah, I feel bad for Laurier because, like, you know, with The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, he, like that documentary said, he kind of got cast as a dinosaur movie director. And, you know, Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, I'd say a lot of the good stuff in that movie is due to Ray Harryhausen, not so much Laurier. And this movie, he still didn't really get to make the movie he wanted. He was forced to do a lot of rewrites. And really, like you said, all the military action clashes and stuff were forced upon him by the studio. He didn't want that kind of movie.
Yeah.
Now, I think this movie is better because of it. I'd hate to see what Laurier would have done without any military clashes and city destruction scenes. But I kind of feel bad for the director that he probably never really got to make the movie he wanted to really make. But
yeah.
We will talk about him again with the, what was the other one that they said he did?
Giant Behemoth?
Yeah, The Giant Behemoth. We'll talk about him again with The Giant Behemoth before this podcast is out. But anyway, but this movie in particular, I mean, it's got its highs and its lows, but overall, enjoy it. I'm actually going to probably give it the lowest grade here, though. I'm going to give it a C-, but it's still in the C range, so, you know.
It's casual.
Two thumbs up.
It's casual.
For effort. I don't know. Anyway, don't have much news this week. This is more of a podcast recommendation than news. I don't know if any of you guys out there already listen to this podcast. It's called Now Playing. Their thing is they review movie franchises. Like when a new movie that's part of a franchise is going to come out, they go back and review all the old ones. But the reason I bring them up on this episode is that they have announced that leading up to Godzilla vs. Kong, they did review the 2014 Godzilla when it came out. But leading up to Godzilla vs. Kong, they're going to go back and review all the King Kong films, which I assume includes King Kong vs. Godzilla. I don't know if it includes King Kong Escapes or not. I don't even know if they know that exists. But,
isn't that really bad?
Well, it depends on your point of view, I guess. I would hate to see them review it, though, because I'm sure, yeah, they would probably rip it to shreds. But and then they will also, of course, review Godzilla King of the Monsters before Godzilla vs. Kong comes out. So, and I really like respect their reviews. I think they're really good at what they do. They're often pretty funny, too. So if you like podcasts like that, I would definitely recommend you give them a listen. And then especially when they start doing their King Kong thing. So anyway, that's really all I had. I can't think of anything else. I pre-ordered the next round of Ultraman from Mill Creek. I pre-ordered the Steelbook.
You did.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Oh, nothing.
Sorry. You say that louder?
I said, of course you did.
Pre-ordered the Ultra 7 Steelbook and the Blu-rays of Ultraman Orb and Ultraman Geed, I believe, is the other two that they have available for pre-order. So go out there. Support Mill Creek. Because I think it's great what they're doing with Ultraman. Really exciting stuff. Even though I won't get to Ultraman Geed or Orb for a while, probably. Because I'm watching these in the order that they were
released.
Televised in Japan. So, you know. Still working on the Ultraman, the animated show. It's not bad, but it's a little bit to get through.
I like it.
Anyway, did you know? Apparently, ESPN posted this in the last episode of Pokemon. Ash finally won a Pokemon League
championship. I noticed that. He finally became a League
champion. ESPN has been posting about it nonstop, literally, since it happened. I'm like, they must have some nerds on their social media team. I'm working on catching up.
Good for Ash.
I'm working up.
Too bad the animation sucks now on him.
I know he freaks me out now, but I'm working on catching up. We're slow. We really plowed through like the first 5 seasons, and now we've like really slammed on the brakes. We're slowly working through season 6, but maybe I'll get some time and we'll speed back up.
What if they ever got rid of Ash as the main character?
I don't know. I read something where they might be considering dropping Ash as the main character.
Well, he finally won his
after 22 years.
He finally won.
After 20 years.
22 years.
Is it 22?
Yeah, there's 22 seasons.
22 years of being the main character. Would they do it? Could you imagine the emotional roller coaster that would be his final episode? Him and Pikachu saying their goodbye? I literally don't think I could handle it. I don't think I could handle it.
God, you're a child.
I almost cried like the fake out episode they had in season 1 when him and Pikachu almost split ways. But Pikachu chose to stay with him instead of his own kind. Oh my god. I love the first season of Pokemon. It's one of the greatest cartoons ever.
Shut your mouth.
Anyway, I got off on a Pokemon rant. I'm sorry. So as far as this podcast goes, next week we will be back with Godzilla, specifically Son of Godzilla.
Son of Godzilla.
I double build it with this movie because it involves a child monster like this one does.
But there's no Sam Slade.
Mm-hmm. There is no Sam
Slade. Sam Slade.
Sam Slade.
Sam Slade.
But there is a lot of Japanese actors that we've talked a lot about that will be returning. And then the week after that, like I've already stated, we will be doing the Japanese
Gappa
remake of this movie called Gappa.
Gappa.
Gappa Angry.
What's after that?
And then after that is Destroy All Monsters, I believe.
Solid.
One of the better entries in the Godzilla franchise.
Definitely. Solid.
So definitely excited about
looking
that.
Looking forward to that one.
Definitely looking forward to that one.
Anyway, we're up on social media.
We are up on social media.
Yeah, we have a few of them. If you want to follow us and find out what we're up to, what the latest release is on this here show, you can follow us at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So get those fingers going. Do what you do. Tell your friends about us.
Definitely. If you have any specific questions and or comments, you can always contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we also have a website where we have our full schedule of events, as well as backlogged episodes, the latest news Aaron can find, and previous grades on past reviewed films. Andrew, why don't you tell them where they can find that website?
You can find us at www.stompdestroy.podbean.com.
Yeah, definitely. We also have another podcast that...
God forbid if I ever edit this episode.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
I'm sorry, I'm a very busy individual right this
minute. It's called DNA Film Wars. We just talk about usually... Right now we're doing a bi-weekly show where we talk about one big new movie every month and also our Star Wars Look Back series.
If I can get the episode out, we have an August episode that pertains to Empire.
Yeah, and we also need to do a September episode over...
It Chapter 2 episode that should be coming out hopefully shortly.
Yeah.
As well as Return of the Jedi that we will watch sometime this month.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely exciting stuff going on over there, so check us out over there. But anyway, I think that's all we had for you this week. Don't forget to join us next week for Son of Godzilla. As always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Dylan. And we'll catch you in the next one.